Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, that sounds good. Coming in, Rage Against the Machine. I am Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, with you until 3 p.m. today. I was just thinking about this, man. This was no year for Rage Against the Machine to have been forced to cancel concerts, especially the one that I was supposed to have attended last month at the United Center. It was a nice little stimulus check to get back, like money I didn't want back, but then when you get it back, when it shows up in your Chase account or whatever your bank account might be, oh, some money popped up that I had planned to depart with, but now I have it back. We have reunited, and now I can do something senseless with the money that I have received back. But yeah, man. I mean, I hadn't even really thought about that because of the message that Rage Against the Machine does have in its music. You know, they have that I don't know, healthy anger. Is it healthy anger? Yeah, they kind of have a healthy anger in their music. And I admit, I am not a big lyrics guy. I'm a huge music listener. But the lyrics, you know, does it sound good? Does the melody sound good? Are the hooks good? That's what I'm about. But you know, Rage Against the Machine is just one of those bands that just rocks through me because of that sound, the pounding. But I know that that band does have a powerful message that would have been worthwhile, would have been very interesting to hear what those guys would have said at the microphone with everything that is going on in our world and just how the music would have felt. It would have probably have gone to a different level. I know that was actually, when I've read up on Rage Against the Machine in the past, that was one of their frustrations, that they didn't think that their message was getting across, that their clientele was just rocking out, like me. Like, I am their clientele, and I probably never really heard their very important message. But yeah, Rage Against the Machine, they are what I like to call, in my own little music terms, a 20 more minutes band. If you are exhausted by your run or your workout, you throw on a Rage song and it automatically gives you 20 more minutes of adrenaline. Yeah, you know the bands I'm talking about. I actually did a list of those types of bands and songs with descriptions just for the hell of it a couple of years ago. See if I could find it, dig it up. Maybe I'll throw it out there on Twitter. And I'm always looking for an extra 20 minutes. So if you have a song suggestion, please feel free to text it to me at 312-644-6767. And, you know, maybe we try to get Tom Morello on. I know he's a big sports fan, big Cubs fan, the guitar player from Rage. Yeah? No? Bears? Awesome to have you on board today with me. Big show with a couple of cool guests that are scheduled to join me, including Chris Emma from our staff, 670thescore.com, to talk about the Chicago Bears. We will also have Caitlin Sharkey on the show. She from Fox 32 covers all of our Chicago sports teams. We'll probably zero in on the Bears this year. She used to also cover the Packers, the Bucks, and the Brewers, so we can pick her brain on, you know, a lot of our team's competition. So that's about 20 minutes from right now when we'll talk to Caitlin. That is coming up shortly. And you are always welcome on the show as well. I love your interaction, your participation. It's just me, man. You could text me or call me at the same number, 312-644-6767. And remember that with the 67, forget about 67-11, just delete it. Just do it like you would text anybody. 312-644-6767 is the way to text us. It is the way to call us. I'm always live on social media, especially on Twitter. You can interact with me there right now if you'd like. Stat. And we can interact and I will read your tweets. I will respond to your tweets, especially if they are particularly good and content worthy. But I'm on Twitter at Mark Grote Sports. Last name spelled G-R-O-T-E, just like my Uncle Jerry, once removed, twice removed. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. We could play there and interact there as well. And I am broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, which currently consists of the bedroom in which I grew up in the western suburbs in Itasca. Yep, that is where I am. I have been quarantining, assisting my parents. So I'm actually literally in my old bedroom, the one in which I existed for 17 years, which is no longer a bedroom. It is now an office slash craft room. It is a very conflicted room. It is a confused, mixed up room. A couple of Mark artifacts laying around. Every once in a while, I find an old picture or a book or like a Little League trophy or something like that. But it's clearly no longer mine. Before we get to our first guest, Caitlin Chark, here in just a little bit, former Bear linebacker Sam Acho did something really cool, and it felt like it was universally praised. And I know that there's debate on things, there's conflict with certain things, people don't agree with everything that is being said and done right now, but there was very little pushback on what Sam Acho put together. He united players and alumni from the Bears, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the Cubs, and Northwestern, youth and leaders from By the Hand, Build, and Westside Health Authority, and also Chicago police officers, united them for what Sam referred to as healing circles in the Austin neighborhood. After the healing circles, players and leaders from each of these organizations, they took a bus tour led by Alderman Emma Mitz and a youth representative from By the Hand, another organization, around the area. Also, shout out to Congressman Danny Davis, who spoke to the group as well. And let me go through the list really quick of the players who were able to attend this. And obviously, not everybody that wanted to go was able to go. But these are the guys that were able to go. Obviously, Acho was there. Mitchell Trubisky of the Bears. Allen Robinson was there. Ryan Archidiacono of the Bulls, Max Strus of the Bulls, former DePaul star, Jason Hayward of the Cubs in the house, Jason Kipnis of the Cubs, local northern suburban kid and former Cleveland Indian, who did not beat the Cubs, Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks, Malcolm Subban of the Blackhawks. That is right. The Blackhawks have a Subban, if you didn't remember. He's the backup goalie for the Hawks. Tyler Lancaster, Northwestern alum, currently with the Green Bay Packers. Also Austin Carr, a Northwestern alum who is currently with the Saints. All these guys got together in the name of police brutality and George Floyd. And to that end, I should tell you where I am with all this. I would consider myself, and not necessarily proudly, but rank and file white guy. I get mad when injustices occur to black people. Maybe I post stuff. I do. I have posted stuff. But I have been negligent in really taking real actions or doing anything about it. I don't think I'm racist, but I've allowed racism. I have friends that are racist. I've heard racist jokes. I let it pass. So we had Sam Acho on yesterday. Steve Rosenblum and I did. And what I want to know at this point, what I've been wanting to know, and I've been asking to the question, hopefully to the right people, is what is my part? Other than trying to be the one who finds the best inspirational message to post on Instagram, and we're all fighting over that, but what is the proper action to take? How do I, as one who hasn't had to walk in their footsteps or deal with what they have had to deal with, and that is African Americans. What do I do? And I asked that question to Sam Acho.
What really came out, really stood out, was when we, after the Healing Circles, we took a ride around the west side of Chicago. And the situation was already bad there, but now it's dire with the riots and the looting that has gone on. People may not know this, but certain areas in Chicago are food deserts. So as we took that ride around, about 30-minute bus ride, we saw one grocery store and over 10 liquor stores. And so these kids have no food to eat. And the grocery store had been looted. The kids had no food to eat. So what we're talking about doing now is trying to get people together and buy up one of those liquor stores and turn it into a food mart, a grocery store that the kids can run, the kids can manage, they can get entrepreneurial skills, they can learn how to invest in their own communities, and then have access to actual food to eat, healthy foods. And that's just step one. We believe that's an easy step. The bigger step is partnering with some of these organizations like the By the Hand Club for Kids. It's been there for 15 years on the West Side, like the West Side Health Authority. They've been there for 50 years, partnering with these organizations who are on the verge of making huge substantive changes and saying, how can we help y'all redevelop the entire community? And that's what the kids said. They said, we need help. We need help. We need you. Not only do we need you to show up, which is great to hear, talk, and listen, but come back, right? So we need your time. We need your voice to let people know what's going on, and we need your resources from everybody, not just the pro athletes. That's what came out of it. Everybody needs to show up and help solve this issue.
Yeah, and one of the other things that he said, too, was educate yourself. Educate, act, and show up. And that's what's important to me going forward, is knowing how to act and not just let this get away from us. Because it is with us now more than ever, and it's because of, quite frankly, it's because of COVID-19. It's because we are all at attention. We are all watching and zeroed in on what is on the news more than ever right now in our lives, and this current generation of people, young and old. So we are at attention, and that's why it's getting more attention than usual, and that's why it feels different, and that's why that is one of those quote-unquote for the better types of things. All right, next voice I'd like you to hear is that of former Score Midday host Dan Jiggetts, former Monsters of the Midday with Mikey North, who is Jiggetts, also a former Chicago Bears offensive lineman, late 70s, early 80s. And he was on with Zach Zayden this week. Zach was filling in for Lawrence Holmes. And I thought that this response from Jiggetts made some great sense in the comparison that he made.
Well, you know, it reminds me, you know, I'll go back to 9/11 when that happened. And I remember being on the air then, and you know, we were kind of having fireside chats where, you know, we would talk about the events of the day and how we were all going to get through this and what was going to be necessary, what it was going to require. And we were pretty much speaking as with one voice about, you know, surviving, you know, the disaster that unfolded in front of us and how we were going to go about doing it. And I remember, you know, all the disparate voices from all corners of Chicago, you know, people calling and talking about what their thoughts were and their fears and how we would try to get through this together. And it's a similar kind of thing developing over the last couple of weeks. And I think that the one lesson that maybe we've learned from 9/11 to this point should be that not only do we have to express ourselves, but we have to do the hard work that's required to get things right. And you know, I just hope that, you know, everyone looks inside their heart and realizes that the person standing next to you is your brother or your sister, and treat them as such and honor them, and they have compassion for people, because it seems like one of the things that's happened in that stretch of time since, you know, the 9/11 disaster is that we have forgotten what has connected us. And there's some things that have been going on for a long time in this country, since its inception, really, that have been wrong. And it's up to us, and it's our responsibility now to take care of those things, to make sure that those things don't continue. And I look at it this way, Zach, because, you know, of where I am now in my age group. When I was growing up, it was the Civil Rights Movement that began. You know, you look through a series of of things that were going on in the country and in the world. We were dealing with Vietnam after that, and, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. But through all of that, there's been one thing that has remained under the surface and sometimes boils up over the surface, but it's every day, and that is discrimination. And that's something that we have to deal with. We've got to get it right in this country, because if we can't get it right, what's the hope for the rest of the world? And I look at it this way. I'm 66 now. I've got, you know, soon to have four grandsons, and I'm wondering what that world is going to be like for them. And I want to do the work, and I want us to do the work that's going to make this a better place for them, because I am concerned about where we are going in this country, because it seems like there's no leadership that's going to take us where we need to be.
Yeah, man, that is, again, Dan Jiggetts, former SKOR host, former Chicago Bears player. It's about doing the work. Like I said, social media is great. I'm sure it is well appreciated, and I have posted things, and I feel good when I do those things. I feel like, oh, I found a really good thing. This, people are going to love this. This is cool. Okay, I'm going to go about my business. And now it comes down to action. So that's where I am with it, and maybe we'll hear from Charles Tillman a little bit later on it, because his message was that of being hopeful, you know, not all doom and gloom, and it's important to remember that. As on fire as the world has seemed, or the country, or we'll just localize it, Chicago has felt, it is not all doom and gloom, and there should be hope, and it should be hope that we move up. And, you know, Jiggetts made the 9/11 comparison, and that obviously completely changed our world, our country, some for the better, some for the worse, in terms of what we now have to do and how we have to comport ourselves because of 9/11. And hopefully that there will be some of that for the better for everything that is going on. All right, we need to take a quick break. When we return, we will talk to Caitlin Sharkey of Fox 32 Sports. I'm Mark Grody, here till 3 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Well, I'm a regular visitor here, but Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. The French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with the Native Americans.
In fact, isn't Milwaukee an Indian name?
Yes, Pete, it is. Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Welcome back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 3 o'clock. We will talk to our Milwaukee guest next. Or she Chicago. Stand by. Sifting through some of the text messages of bands that adrenalize you, that can add, just when you think you have nothing left in your workout, these kinds of bands can give you that extra 20 minutes. I was talking about Rage Against the Machine earlier, that I could put that on. I could be dead. I could be in a dead sleep and then wake up and do 10 miles if I hear Rage Against the Machine. But just a couple. Closer by Nine Inch Nails. Yeah. And then anything by Slayer. Yeah, really any speed metal will do the trick. Green Day, Dookie in Living Color. Yeah, Let's see. Slayer. We'll go through some more of those a little bit later on, but I like that you guys are participating on that. All right. Let's talk right now to one of the newest sports reporters in town. Caitlin Sharkey covers all of our teams here in Chicago, including the Bears, for Fox 32 TV. She is on Twitter at KRoseSharkey. And yes, by the intro, she is from Milwaukee. Caitlin, welcome to the Score. Welcome to Chicago. How are you?
Thank you for having me. That was quite the welcome. I loved it. It got a smile right away. I was like, this is the best.
Yeah, that was good. Sean Anderson, thumbs up on that that intro. I was not expecting that either. But how odd of a time has this been for you? You get hired into one of the best sports markets in the country, and we have no sports. How has that adjustment been for you?
It's been tough because I have to say I was excited. I started in April, and I knew things were, you know, there was obviously the COVID era was going on, but I didn't think it maybe would last this long. And yeah, I was excited to come to this big sports market, but I've yet to cover a practice, a game. I've done everything via Zoom. I haven't met any of my fellow, you know, reporters and colleagues, and I haven't even been to the station at Fox 32. So it's been an interesting time, but now it's almost like falling into this normalcy. But I am more than ready for any kind of practice, game, event, anything. Anything to watch on TV, I'm anxious. I'm anxious to get started.
I don't know how it's been for you, but when we first start, because I'm literally broadcasting from the bedroom in which I grew up right now. I'm hanging out with my parents right now. So it's been odd. And usually I'm doing my shows or whatever it is that I'm doing from Chicago in my place there. And at first, I hated it. I hated it because, yeah, as you know, on radio, eye contact is wonderful with the person that you work with your producers. Just everything is better visually. But then I got really used to it, and now I really like it. So I don't know. Have you gotten to that point where you've adjusted to doing TV broadcasts from your place?
Yeah, I've definitely adjusted to it. The only thing is, like, I want my apartment back because, I mean, I'm not living in this huge space in downtown Chicago. So it's taken up a chunk of my apartment. But, yeah, it becomes, like, the normal thing to do. I mean, we go live off of an app on our cell phone, which is wild to me. So, it's definitely, like, a normal thing. It's going to feel different and weird to go into a studio and actually do TV like we used to do it. But, yeah, it's becoming normal, and it's, you know, it's nice. It's convenient to be at your house. Not always, but it's. I've enjoyed it for what it is. I've taken it for what it is at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And we will talk about the teams that you cover now here in Chicago. But since Milwaukee was brought up in the intro, you did, for people who don't know, Caitlin spent the previous 3 years covering the Green Bay Packers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Milwaukee Brewers at the Fox affiliate in Milwaukee. So let's gather a little bit of intel, because those obviously are rivals to the Chicago teams. And because I assume the Packers dominate that sports landscape, I actually want to start with the NBA and the Milwaukee Bucks, because the NBA is planning to return, and the Bucks would have a legitimate shot at another title in the prime of Giannis. So my question about that is, how excited do you think or do you feel that Milwaukee is to have a chance at this, and how important is it to the Bucks franchise to still be alive in all of this?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I saw it kind of develop over the last few years in Milwaukee. Milwaukee became a basketball city because it never was. I mean, I went to college there, and you would have to be dragged to a Bucks game because you didn't want to go. And now it's completely changed the franchise, like, the surrounding area, and people love Bucks basketball and they're excited about it. And Giannis has really just catapulted the team and kind of put them on the scene for what is the NBA. And the hopes are high. Like, everyone thinks, I mean, I have to admit, when it was mid-March and they, you know, postponed the season and they put a halt to everything, people were devastated in Milwaukee, because I feel like people were like, this was our year, this was our chance. And now if they're, you know, it only figures, there's a lot of jokes, like the 1 year the Bucks have a chance, you know, the pandemic comes through. But I think the hopes are high and they're excited about it. And I hope they do well, because they put the pieces together. They were so close last year. Obviously, in Toronto, things didn't go the way they wanted to, but they have the potential, and I think Milwaukee is behind them and excited 100% of the way.
How was it to cover Antetokounmpo? Is he a good guy to cover, an interesting athlete?
Absolutely. He's one of my favorites. You know, I've been spoiled the last 3 years. You know, in Wisconsin, they talk about we have Aaron Rodgers, we have Christian Yelich, and then we have Giannis. And out of the three, I have to say Giannis is probably the most personable, and he's just a fun guy. He works hard. He's super relatable, and I think that's why he's worked so well with the Milwaukee fan base and things like that, because he is a superstar of a different magnitude in that state and in that city, and people just love him. And he is as good as he appears to be, and I hope it stays that way. You know, sometimes you're like, all right, he wins an MVP. If he wins a couple more, how's he going to be? But so far, so good for Giannis.
Yeah, and as his profile goes up, you know, he's obviously, once his number comes up, every team in the league is going to want him. Do you think he stays there long term?
I hope so. I think he will for a while. I think the pressure is if they don't win a championship, and if they, you know, if there's some kind of upset and they're not doing the things that, you know, he thinks they need to win a championship, then I think he starts thinking about going somewhere else. But for right now, he loves Milwaukee. Luckily for Milwaukee, he wasn't really exposed to any other parts of the country. So he doesn't, you know, he a couple of years ago, he said he hates LA and he doesn't like the crowds and the big people, you know, all the hype that comes with those big markets. So, I mean, everyone will try their best to keep Giannis happy in Milwaukee. They signed his brother. I think a lot of it was to keep his family unit intact, and now he's got a young son. So I think they're trying their darndest, but I hope he does. I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, I do too, for the sake of Milwaukee and that sports landscape. Mark Grody talking to Caitlin Sharkey. She of Fox 32 Sports covers all of our teams here. She is from Milwaukee, and we brought up the Green Bay Packers as well, and I am required to ask you, what did you think about the Green Bay Packers drafting a quarterback in Jordan Love this year?
It was interesting. It was funny because, I mean, the last 6 years of my career have been spent covering the Packers, so that's all I've known. And then it's like I come to Chicago and I'm all in on the Bears draft, and then that happens with the Packers, and my phone and so many people were like, what in the world? And I mean, that was my thought. I knew they were going to draft a quarterback. I didn't think it would happen at that position. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what do you think Aaron thinks? And I think Aaron was pretty frank about, you know, his thoughts on the pick. I think it's good for the organization. They obviously didn't see that they could have found a receiver that could have made an immediate impact, so they went with the quarterback. But it's definitely changed the landscape of things. I don't think it's like a controversy by any means, but it almost made me glad. I'm like, oh, I am glad I don't have to be there for that situation, because it's just, especially when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he is who he is, and he's worked hard to be where he's at. But now that he knows that a young gun's coming in behind him, I think we're going to see a different looking Aaron Rodgers and maybe a more fired up Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that from a distance. The situation you are in, though, now, Caitlin, is one that you probably have never been a part of. As a matter of fact, the people before you have never been a part of it. You guys have had unbelievable quarterbacks. You are now right in the middle of a quarterback competition between Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. What has been your view, especially of Trubisky, from where you have reported the last few years?
Yeah, it's been one of those, you know, up and down things. I'm like, okay, he has this potential. He has moments of greatness, flashes of greatness, but I was not surprised that they brought in another quarterback. I'm not surprised that they brought in Nick Foles, and it will be interesting to cover something like that, you know, because people like don't like to use the word controversy, but like you said, it's definitely a competition, and I think it can go either way. And I think the interesting part of it all is, it won't be a normal quarterback competition that, you know, you go through OTAs and mini camps and training camps. We don't know what that's going to look like, right? So it's like this quarterback competition could go right up to week one, week two, week three, because until Matt Nagy sees them against opposing defenses and sees if Trubisky has grown at all and made any changes or improvements, I think the competition is going to be, you know, something that we see play out longer than you normally would in a normal setting.
I 100% agree, and I am intrigued to see how it does play out logistically. I don't know what they're doing now. And I guess we'll find out later this mm-hmm. month when we get a chance to talk to Trubisky and Foles. But there's only so much they can do now, so it makes it really interesting. I saw that you had – I know this was a little while ago, probably in May, mid-May, late May, that you had a chance to talk to the Bears' top wide receiver – Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. who is a really interesting guy and obviously a key part of it. What did you learn from him, and what do you see from him going forward into this season?
I enjoyed my chat with Allen. It's interesting because obviously I have, you know, you build your relationships with players and you know players through the years, but coming into this market and meeting someone to do an interview for the first time virtually was something that I was like, this is different. You know, I mean, I couldn't. Obviously, I know Allen Robinson, and I've never interacted with him. So all of that aside, I was pleasantly surprised at how open he was, how honest he was. And just I think he's a leader in that locker room and a leader for that group, obviously. And I enjoyed the fact that he was honest about the support that he has for Mitch, but also open to the idea of Nick coming in, and that he trusts the coaches and that he doesn't think that they're that far away. And I think that was one of the statements that he made that, you know, stood out for me. He thinks they have the pieces. You know, obviously their offense didn't do very well last season and ranked toward the bottom of the league, but he doesn't think that they're that far off. So I thought that was interesting. But I did enjoy talking to him. I think he's a bright young man, and he's definitely a leader for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he is the top guy in that offense. They need more like him for sure. What is you must have an excellent view of the rest of the division beyond the Bears and the Packers. What about the other two teams? Because we've talked a lot about the Bears and Packers. How do you mm-hmm. think Minnesota and Detroit stack up? Or what do you think the division looks like? If, let's just say, they play full force, how do you think it shakes out, as hard as it is to predict year to year?
Yeah, and that's the thing about that division, right? It is hard to predict. You think you know who's going to finish on top, and then the season starts to play out, and you're like, well, maybe not. I feel like there's always been this drop-off with Detroit. They're kind of that one team that's trying their darndest to get into the mix with the other three, but they can't. Minnesota's always a good team. They've always – you know, caused problems for the Packers in the past, and they caused problems for the Bears. I think this year it'll be interesting because of the way things shake out with whatever camps look like. And I think we're going to see what players were doing work in this quarantine offseason and what players weren't doing any work. And I think it's going to create this different kind of competition field. So I think the Bears and Packers are more evenly matched than maybe people think or expect. I think they're going to be – I wouldn't pick one over the other right now. Like, obviously, it's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers anytime you're looking at the division as a whole, but I don't know. I think depending on how the quarterback situation plays out with the Bears, obviously the Vikings are always – like, they're a good team, and they've developed over the past couple of years. And my faith is never really high on the Lions, but the other three, I feel like it could be anyone's game, especially because – we don't know how things have gone for these teams and these individual players during this quarantine.
Yeah, I've ruled out the Lions until further notice. And I have to tell you, too, Caitlin, I was on a Green Bay radio station not that long ago. I wish I could – I'll try to figure out the name of it. You probably have been on it yourself. But anyway, they were great. But the last question they asked me, they said – all right, they said, Mark, who's going to win the division? Is it going to be the Packers or the Vikings? And I said the Bears, just to throw mm-hmm. them off, and they laughed me off the radio.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm torn on it because I think people, and it was funny, the other day someone asked me, like, do Packer fans always count out the Bears, and do they even take them seriously? Do they ever... they get nervous when that game comes? And I said, Packer fans will never admit that they do. You know what I mean? Like, they'll never be like, oh, we're afraid of the Bears. But I think it's a legitimate, like, it's a rivalry game. It's a NFC North opponent. You never know with those kind of games. And especially now, I think, like you said, it could really be anyone's division. It's easy to pick the Packers, for sure. That's the safe pick. But I don't know. The Packers were, not that what they did last season was a fluke by any means, but I think they surprised a lot of people, and it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But I have faith in the Bears as well. If they can you know, get their offense back on track. Their defense is really strong, and that's something that they can, you know, ride on until they figure out who's going to lead the offense.
Yeah, agreed. Caitlin Sharkey, Fox 32 Sports, is our guest. I'm Mark Rohde on The Score. Let me ask you a baseball question. One of the signature signings for the Chicago White Sox this offseason was Yasmani Grandal. I mean, that was a big deal to White Sox fans. It was symbolic of what they might be trying to do, 40 years and $73 million. You covered him in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. What kind of player and person are the White Sox getting?
A great player and a great person. He was a fan favorite, rightfully so. He did a lot of great things, obviously, on the field for the Brewers. But he's just one of those guys that you want to cheer for. And I know Brewers fans and the Brewers were bummed to see him go. Everyone understood it. So there wasn't this like, oh, I can't believe he's leaving and I can't believe he's going to Chicago. I think people understood it in the landscape of Milwaukee sports and Brewers baseball and what they needed to do because he got paid a lot of money. I think it was a great move for the White Sox. I'm excited to see, if there's baseball, of course, what he can do, because he is one of those players that has established himself in so many different areas of the game. He's a leader. He's smart. He knows how to play the game. Obviously, he can hit well. He's obviously a great all-star catcher. So I think it was a great move for the White Sox. He's missed in Milwaukee. I know that for sure. But he's excited about it, and I interviewed him right when I moved to Chicago, and he's still in Arizona, but he said he hadn't even been to Chicago yet. He hasn't scoped it out, but it was one of the teams he wanted to go to. His wife was excited about the move, so I think he's really excited and energized to get going, and hopefully we get baseball back sooner than later.
Amen. What's your gut? Do you think there's going to be baseball this year?
I think there will be. I think it'll be – they got to just settle on a number. My only concern is they're running out of time. I mean, here we are in – first week of June and they don't have a decision made. So I don't know. I think baseball, I hope no one comes out being a villain. And that is kind of my concern, is that I don't want it to be a battle between the owners and the players. And I don't want people to think like, oh, the players were greedy and the owners were greedy and now we all suffer. It'll be a shame if they can't come to an agreement, especially at a time like this in a world with everything that's going on. I mean, sports is something that people need. And the NBA's figured it out. NHL's figured it out. I don't understand why baseball can't figure it out.
Yeah, there's too much money involved. I think it would also be, Caitlin, I think it'd be horrible for baseball if they were to not return, right? I mean, how would they recover? Mm-hmm. Would they
recover? And that's the thing. Ratings are already down, and it used to be, you know, America's game and everything like that. And it's like, if they can't get this together, they're going to lose even more of a fan base and kind of this notoriety in the leagues of sports. And that's not something you want to see, because baseball is one of those iconic leagues in sports. And yeah, like you said, it's all money. There's a lot of money involved, and I get it. I mean, if I was making a lot of money, I wouldn't want to see a lot of it go away either, but at some point there's got to be a give and take, and I hope they can figure it out.
I'm conflicted because I haven't been mad or indignant over what's going on, because we all want ours. We all want our piece of the pie, and I don't want to get screwed out of 1 cent in my life. And, you know, I understand that Mike Trout can get by on $5 million a year as opposed to $25 million a year, but there are principles involved. So I don't know how you feel, but I'm actually not mad at any. I hate it, but I'm not mad at anybody.
Absolutely. And I think it's hard for people to fathom, because, I mean, the normal person to fathom, like, oh, he's going to make $80 million instead of $120. Yeah, that's hard for someone to understand. But also, these guys, not that I'm defending them by any sort, so to speak, but they have lifestyles that they have because of this money. So if you take $40 million away, I mean, that's going to affect their lifestyle. And I think that's where the concern comes in. And then, is it a slippery slope? And then will contracts change forever? You know, will we never see those big number contracts be paid out again, because they know, well, they played this year for a lot less. Why do we have to pay them more next year? And I think that's what the players union is probably concerned about, and the players themselves.
Yeah. And I think that they hopefully they will realize what the point that you and I just hit on a couple minutes ago, that if they don't come to, if there's something dramatic doesn't occur and baseball doesn't return this year, I mean, I guess the players don't care because they're going to get paid no matter what. But if they care about their sport and the perception of it, the ratings of it, the ages of the eyeballs, because the older crowd is probably always going to watch baseball. But if they truly want the NBA crowd, the younger people to watch, they need to acquiesce, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, Christian Yelich was already talking last season about how baseball stars aren't cultural stars, right? They're not these, you know, these global superstars like we often see in the NFL and the NBA. And it's like, well, that's not going to help the cause anymore either, because if they go an entire season without baseball, there's another season that you're just falling down on the totem pole. And meanwhile, NHL's probably grabbing an entire new fan base, because people that don't have pro hockey teams to cheer for are going to be like, well, sports are on. I'm going to watch this team. I'm going to cheer for this team. So I think it would just be a bad look overall for baseball.
Caitlin, really great stuff. I'm glad that we got a chance to talk. Maybe I'll actually see you on a beat at some point in time.
I hope so.
Are you going to be part of Fox 32's coverage of the Chicago Bears this year as well? I know you're doing all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm supposed to travel and everything else, so that's our main thing. But I'm looking forward to covering all Chicago sports. But yeah, it's weird even to hop on these Zoom calls that we have. I'm like, no, I don't know anyone. I'm just like trying to put faces to names.
Right.
I'm like, well,
right.
I just wanted to be like, hi, this is, I'm Caitlin. Nice to meet you all. Like, carry on.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that from your perspective. Like, I thought about that because I thought if I was new someplace and there's like 20 reporters, like, especially the Bears beat. The Bears beat is intense. I would have just kind of like you didn't talk. I wouldn't have either. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, I don't know what's going
on
here.
I put in the request to ask a question, and I'm like, they're not going to look at me like a regular, and I don't blame them because I'm not a regular. So I felt like a new kid in high school, like trying to sit at the table with the other cool kids, and
yes.
I was like, I'll just wait it out a little bit. But no, it's been good. And everyone that I have talked to has been welcoming. And I know I'll see everyone down the road, but it's definitely been an interesting experience for sure.
Caitlin, thank you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Of course. Thank you so much.
You got it. That is, again, Caitlin Sharkey from Fox 32 Sports. You could follow her on Twitter at @KRoseSharkey if you would like. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I actually want to talk a little bit about baseball and the draft, about which I am extremely excited this year in an accidental fashion. We'll talk about that next. It's Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He is Dan Hempton, Hall of Famer and legendary Bear. He is Mark Grody, filling in for Hub Arkish.
Oh, I didn't expect that one. That was a doozy. Doing pregame with Dan Hampton and this big build-up to number 99. And then Mark Grody. I'm just glad they pronounced the name right. That was years ago. Speaking of which, they are NFL Network, apparently. Or is it Channel 5? Maybe NBC is re-airing today Super Bowl 20 at 2 o'clock. So I might be distracted come 2 o'clock. Anyway, I'm Mark Grody. Chris Emma from 670thescore.com will join me at 1 o'clock. Nine Inch Nails pumping in the background right there. One of the bands that people have texted in as potentials for bands that adrenalize you during your workout. We came in with Rage Against the Machine earlier. That's one of those bands, like, you put on any song, Gorilla Radio, Bulls on Parade, whatever, whatevs. And, like, I got 20 minutes left in me. If I hear a Rage Against the Machine song, concerts were canceled this summer. I was supposed to go. Yeah, Bears. But yeah, a couple of them, Tool. Yeah, Tool songs are pretty good, man. Some of them start slow and then hit hard later, Tool songs. Korn, Freak on a Leash, another texter suggests. Yeah, lots of Korn. Lots of Korn songs work in that regard. And I'm a late bloomer to a lot of those, like Tool and Korn, because I was so consumed with the Pearl Jams and Soundgarden and the grunge era in the 90s that I kind of forgot about the late 90s bands, but now I'm into those. So yeah, keep them coming. 312-644-6767. We'll read them throughout the show. Bands that adrenalize you, songs that adrenalize you during your workout. And I'll release a full list of them later on, because I did a whole thing just for the hell of it a few years ago on that exact topic. MLB draft is this Wednesday and Thursday. I don't usually care that much about the MLB draft except for the first round, because it always feels so ambiguous and hard to reach because of the pure volume of players. But this is different. MLB and ESPN will both have live coverage of it. It's just five rounds, which will make it more compelling, more relatable, something that you could actually, if you feel like it, you could study up on. The White Sox select 11th in the draft, so they're going to get a good player right there. The Cubs go 16th, presumably get a good player as well. Tigers, Orioles, Marlins go 1, 2, 3. So the Detroit Tigers are on the proverbial clock. I was just looking at an MLB.com mock draft for the White Sox and the Cubs, and I'll just give you the paragraphs, the synopsis that they give. So the White Sox at number 11, they have, at least MLB.com, that's the only one I looked at, they have them taking a catcher, Patrick Bailey, out of North Carolina State. And then what they wrote underneath it, it says, high school names are coming up here, like Tyler Soderstrom of California or Pittsburgh area prepster Austin Hendrick. But this writer says, but I still keep coming back to the fact that they haven't taken a high school player in the first round since 2013. So catcher good for the White Sox is what they say. They like taking catchers. And then it says here for the Cubs at number 16 overall, Garrett Mitchell, outfielder, UCLA. So this rolling rebuild by the Cubs, or I don't know if you want to phrase it that way, you know, the Cubs willing to take a half step back to move forward again. Back to their old tricks, taking position players. It's still hard to place Mitchell, but he has the best overall set of tools in this class. Chicago, the Cubs, could also dive into the prep bat pool here as well. So potential outfielder for the Cubs, maybe a catcher for the White Sox. The White Sox are really, really good right now at catcher. We were talking to Caitlin Starkey earlier about Yasmani Grandal. Remember Yasmani Grandal when the White Sox signed him and he was symbolic of this offseason for the Sox, symbolic of a complete turnaround in organizational thinking and all of that. So there's Yasmani sitting right there with nothing to do right now, and James McCann is his backup. So they are, Sox are packed and they are solid at the catching position. Still the part that I am looking most forward to on the Chicago White Sox this year is this starting rotation. And specifically, you know, I think we know what you got with Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. Yeah, I'm sold on Giolito, by the way. I'm sold. I mean, you know, he's not going to necessarily rank in Cy Young every year, but I think you have a good pitcher right there in Lucas Giolito who could qualify as a one or two. You know what you got in Keuchel. I really am looking forward to seeing what Dylan Cease does this year, because he was just okay last year. But there are caveats involved, as he just started, and you know that cannot be necessarily completely taken seriously. But I want to know what Dylan Cease really is all about. What do you have there? And then the Michael Kopech factor. And who knows where he is? If baseball does come back, do they throw him right in? Is he ready to go because of the extra time that he has had? Doubtful, but can't wait to see what that looks like. And then, you know, is Reynaldo Lopez the guy that you had 2 years ago, or is he the guy that took a step back last year? So starting pitching, interesting. I've got Aaron Bummer down as one of the best relievers in the league this year. Yep, I'm doing that. You know, Eloy Jimenez, what's his next step? Luis Robert, what is his first step? Do we continue to see a batting champ in Tim Anderson? Yoan Moncada, is he going to be an MVP candidate all of a sudden? There's so much. There's so much good when you talk about the White Sox. Had a texter ask me earlier, Mark, what's your gut on whether or not baseball returns? My gut says yes, and it's exactly because of what I was talking about. I mean, it seems inconceivable right now. It doesn't look good. It looks horrible right now, as a matter of fact. It's dead in terms of, like, progress. But it was like I was talking with Caitlin earlier. I think baseball gets it, that they cannot afford to have another season deleted like they did in 94-95. I think the ramifications would be devastating. I don't think that's hyperbole. I really don't. I mean, baseball be here, but in what form and in what popularity and what kind of ratings and what kind of, you know, dollars and all of that, I think, is riding on there being a baseball season this year. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later on. I'll go a little bit more into depth on my thoughts on baseball and whether it will return. We'll go a little more in depth on the Cubs as well. And still to come on this, we're going to talk to Chris Emma about the Bears here in just a couple minutes at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. But other things today on this show. There is some, I have some Harrison Ford competition out there that we're going to delve into a little bit later on. Also, you probably don't know this about me because there's just no reason for it to come up very often, but I am very enthusiastic about DePaul basketball. Always have. That's my team. That's always been my team. They have lost my attention for the last 20 years or so, except for a spasm here and there. And there's been a major change at the top of DePaul and its athletic department. I'm going to tell you what that means now and what it could mean moving forward for the DePaul basketball program. That's coming up a little bit later as well. But we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, let's talk about the Bears with my guy, Chris Emma. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.